Nature or nurture? When two young superheroes are sent through space to escape a collapsing solar system, where they end up may define who they become. Or not. Listen to Jacob Blickenstaff's review of Megamind to find out how you can use the movie to nurture your classroom.
Megamind recently came out on DVD, so now is a good time to go back and look at this animated feature. With Will Ferrell in the title role, Brad Pitt voicing Metro Man, and Tina Fey as TV reporter Roxanne Ritchie, the voice talent was impressive, and the storyline interesting enough to keep adults in the theater while the kids enjoyed the 3D. We learn in the prologue that both Megamind and Metro Man arrived on Earth as babies, with the same backstory as Superman. Their home planet's facing destruction, they were shot into space by their parents.
I had a fairly standard childhood.
Hurry! There isn't much time!
With parents who couldn't wait to get me out of the house.
You are destined for greatness.
That was a lot of expectation to place on an 8-day-old. Turns out another family in the Glaupunk Quadrant had a very similar idea. That was the day I met Mr. Goody Two-Shoes. And our glorious rivalry was born!
While Metro Man landed in a mansion and enjoyed the benefits of a privileged upbringing,
our baby can fly!
Yes, yes, nothing but the best for you, darling.
Megamind's pod landed in the Institute for the Criminally Gifted, a prison, where he learned a life of villainy.
Can we keep it?
This contrasting childhood could lead to an interesting discussion of nature versus nurture. Though Metro Man and Megamind are archenemies, fighting over Metro City, or Metrocity, and Roxanne, the battles are predictable. Megamind always ends up back in jail. The story opens with the dedication of the Metro Man Museum and Megamind in solitary confinement. With the help of Minion, voiced by David Cross, Megamind escapes from the Metro City jail, kidnaps Roxanne, and crashes the museum dedication. No one is more surprised than Megamind when his plot to concentrate the energy of the sun on Metro Man succeeds. The rest of the film answers the question, what does a supervillain do when he has no superhero to fight? Now, animated films like this require a significant suspension of disbelief on the part of the audience, so what could science teachers use other than some common physics errors? Well, Megamind gives physical science teachers a few opportunities to discuss the importance of seatbelts with young students, and biology teachers an interesting way to introduce organisms that have adapted to extreme conditions. One of Megamind's favorite weapons is his dehydration ray. He uses it on his companion, Minion, on an unsuspecting museum employee, and even himself. Creatures he dehydrates turn into small blue cubes and seem to suffer no ill effects when they are rehydrated. This sort of suspended animation is very similar to a real biological state known as cryptobiosis, which some creatures use to protect themselves from unfavorable conditions. If the environment becomes too dry or too cold, rotifers, tardigrades, and brine shrimp can use cryptobiosis to survive until conditions improve. You may remember advertisements in magazines and comic books for creatures called sea monkeys. They were usually next to the X-ray specks and red-hot chewing gum. Many kids are disappointed when the creatures that hatch from the sea monkey package look nothing like the cartoon figures in the advertisements. Sea monkeys are actually a kind of brine shrimp or artemia. The brine shrimp are sent through the mail in their cyst-like egg form, and when placed in salt water, they hatch and begin to grow. When fully grown, they're only about a centimeter long. In the egg form, brine shrimp can survive up to 2 years without water or oxygen. They have adapted to survive dry periods in saltwater lakes around the world. Two other organisms have similar strategies, but can be seen only with a microscope. Tardigrades, or water bears, and deloids, a kind of rotifer, could also be used as examples in high school biology. Folks who teach physics or physical science could use a number of scenes in Megamind to encourage students to wear seatbelts. The opening flashback story of how Metro Man and Megamind came to Earth shows the 8-day-old Megamind rattling around inside his space pod when it collides with asteroids and other objects. If he'd been strapped in, the baby Megamind would have been much safer, since his motion would be tied to the motion of the ship. Mass resists changes in motion, so more massive objects speed up, slow down, and change direction more slowly than less massive things. Since a car has much more mass than a person, it is safest to be firmly attached to the vehicle. Megamind has not learned this lesson, so as an adult, he still travels without his seatbelt buckled. When he's riding in the news van with Roxanne Ritchie much later in the film, he says something that causes her to slam on the brakes. Since he's not wearing his belt, he slides forward and crashes into the dashboard, exclaiming, "Oh my giant blue head!" A final note on names. While Roxanne is not surprised by any of Megamind's usual torture devices, when a spider appears hanging in front of her nose, she notices.
The spider's new.
Spider?
It looks to me like a black widow, but Megamind calls it Arachnus deathicus and claims it has a deadly bite. Well, black widows are of the genus Latrodectus, and the western black widow is Latrodectus hesperus. The term Arachnida is the class spiders are in, so it would not appear in the binomial name of the spider, which includes the genus and the species. Megamind gives teachers an opportunity to discuss organisms' adaptations to extreme conditions, automotive safety, and the proper use of Latin names.
For more of Dr. Blickenstaff's reviews, go to the NSTA website and search for Blick on Flicks.
Yes, the spider. Even the smallest bite from Arachnus deathicus will instantly paralyze.
Ow! Get it off!
DreamWorks Megamind in 3D.